Father God, we thank you so much for your kindness and goodness and faithfulness and provision. We thank you for the opportunity and blessing it is to gather with our church family. We pray this morning that you would give us wisdom to seek and understand and turn to you according to your word, that you would help us to not only understand the truth of your word, but to apply it rightly to our lives and to recognize that we need you. We need you now as we look at your word together. We need you as we gather for worship. We need you every hour of every day. So we thank you that you call us to yourself and that you enable us to walk in a relationship with you through your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So a couple years ago, I was eating lunch with Pastor Scott and some other family, and we were enjoying, among other things, we were enjoying some Clancy's nacho tortilla chips. They're pretty good. I mean, they're not, you know, if you're hungry especially, they're good. But then Pastor Scott said something that was so shocking that I can't forget it still to this day. He talked about how he really liked these chips, and he said that they were actually better than Doritos. And all of a sudden, it was like my life flashed before my eyes, and I thought, oh no, what have we done as a church in bringing this man on as an associate pastor? I mean, we can agree to disagree on football teams and baseball teams. We can agree to disagree even on minor theological things, but this was a line too far. And so I started thinking to myself, because he had just started with our church, and I thought, who do I need to talk to? What do we do? I just thought, what are we going to do about this? There's certain things you just can't say. And suddenly I struggled with this, and thankfully, it wasn't too long after this that Pastor Scott ate real Doritos, and he said, wow, I was way wrong. I was way wrong. These are way better than Clancy's. And you see, in a foolish attempt to save money, Scott and Lydia were, for quite some time, had not eaten real Doritos. They were just simply buying the knockoffs. Yeah, you did save money, that's true. Now, don't get me wrong, there are times, I want to be honest, there's a lot of things that we do generic in our house, a lot of things. In fact, more often than not, if there's generic available, we do it. But you don't do knockoffs from Doritos. Doritos and Oreos don't have a replacement. You have to do the real thing. Yeah, Jif too. Well, I mean, all peanut butter is good. So nothing replaces Jif, but all peanut butter is good. But all of this makes me think, of course, I'm being a little bit sarcastic, and so make sure you go home and tell your kids, no, Nick didn't really think about having Scott fired for eating Doritos, or for not eating Doritos. But all of this makes me think of what we've been talking about in Genesis, because, yeah, I'm not trying to compare Doritos with the Garden of Eden, even though all that MSG and Red 40 do taste really good. We know they're not natural. It's better to eat things out of the garden. I know. But just consider that there's the real thing and there's the knockoffs, right? There's the real thing and there's knockoffs. And God's intention for us is to walk with him and have healthy relationships that are centered on him. When we don't, even if we're fooled into thinking, and we get a knockoff, when we get something and we think, oh, this is good, this is as good as it gets, there's nothing better than this, and we don't get the real thing, and we're fooled into thinking that the knockoff is enough, we're ultimately going to be disappointed. We're ultimately going to be let down. And when you taste the real thing, when you get the real thing, when you experience communion with God, then you know what I'm talking about. Because then you won't go back. You won't settle for the knockoffs. You won't settle for what is less than what God has for you when you experience what is good and what is right and what is true with him. You see, in Genesis, we can see that there are problems and there are promises in our world. We have problems. He has promises. Today, we'll look at the Genesis of children. The beginning of what we see here is this: be fruitful and multiply. Near the end of chapter 3, Adam declares Eve to be the mother of all the living. But remember, she hadn't yet had any children. Adam knew that God is faithful. He knew that God was about to do a work in their lives despite their failures, because God is good. The fulfillment of God's command for them and for us to be fruitful and multiply, it was about to begin, as we see in chapter 4. This is important, and so my purpose in the message today is that you will lead by the word and not by the world. You see, we see two different paths as we continue in Genesis. And we think about children and grandchildren. We think about those we have an opportunity to influence, whether it's your children or whether it's children in the church or whether it's people in the community, whether it's friends. We have an opportunity to lead in our lives through our examples, through our words, through our actions. And we see that there is God's way and we see that there is the devil's way. Those are the two options. There's the way of the world and there's the way of the word. Lead by the word. Do this for your own sake. But then also, not just for your own sake, do this for the sake of those who will come after you, those who you have an opportunity to have an impact on, because we all have that. And so as we read Genesis 4, I want you to notice that there's a reason for and a reality of sin, and there's a right response. Remember, we discussed a couple weeks ago in Genesis 3, we saw that the fact that there are four realities of sin as we see in Genesis 3. The fact that sin distorts God's word, sin denies God's word, sin is destructive, and sin is devastating. And so we saw that in Genesis 3. We saw it with the fall of humanity that impacts all of us and through all of our lives. We also saw, though, the promise of deliverance. Know the truth about sin and respond rightly in order to receive that deliverance. And so a reason for sin, as we get ready to look at the first seven verses, is that sin is easy. It's easy, right? You don't have to work at it. Sin comes naturally because of the curse of the fall and who we are as sinful human beings. It's easy to sin. It's easy to sin, and so Satan has an advantage over us because it's so easy. His way is the easiest way. The way of the world is easier than the way of the word. And so let's look at verses 1 to 7. It says here that Adam knew his wife Eve intimately, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And so this is that be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And notice, though, that it is the Lord. She said, I have made a male child with the Lord's help. It is the Lord who makes this possible. Then she also said, in verse 2, she also gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel became a shepherd of a flock, but Cain cultivated the land. In the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock, and their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. Cain was furious, and he was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you furious, and why are you downcast? If you do right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do right, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Now, that word desire there is the same word that's used in chapter 3, verse 16. Sin's desire, what he's saying here, sin's desire is to be as intimate with you as a husband is intimate with his wife. So in other words, you either master sin or sin masters you. We see this all over the scriptures. You're either a slave to Christ or you're a slave to sin. We all have a master. And so we either surrender ourselves to the Lord and he leads us, or we surrender ourselves to sin and sin masters us. Because sin is easy. Sin is easy. So the battle begins here, right? We saw the battle that was promised in chapter 3, verse 15. With that deliverance, there was a battle that was promised, the seed of Eve and the seed of the serpent. And so here we have the beginning of the battle, Genesis chapter 4, the battle that continues throughout all of human history, the battle between the offspring of Eve and the offspring of the serpent. And we see that the ease of sin here, because notice what we see with Cain, it's without commitment, it's without devotion, it's without obedience, it's without sacrifice, it's without a heart of worship. That's what it's getting at. It wasn't making the point that somehow the offering of the animals and the fat portion was superior to the offering of the grain. We see both sets of offerings in the Old Testament. So it wasn't about the physical offering, it was about the heart. And we see that with Cain's response. We see it was about the heart. The ease of sin involves going through the motions like Cain did, going through the religious motions. I was in church service. Oh, I was there. But God knows our hearts. He knows our hearts, and so he either accepts our offering of praise, our offering of giving, our offering of worship. He accepts it or he doesn't, and it's based on our hearts. It's a lot easier to fail than it is to succeed, because sin is easy. It's a lot easier to disobey than it is to obey. It's a lot easier to go through the motions than to have a heart of worship. Hebrews 11 tells us that Abel's offering was better than Cain's. Why? Because Abel presented his by faith. We don't have time to look at all the scriptures this morning, but I put them on your cross references there underneath your notes. If you look and you go back and look at those verses in Hebrews 11, Abel's was by faith. Faith is trusting the Lord. Think about this. That's easier said than done, isn't it? It's not easy to have faith. It's easy to sin. It's easy to go through the motions. Sin is easy. Cain was told what to do, but the easy thing was to give in to the temptations of the world rather than to obey the word. Follow the word and all will be well. Follow the world and sin will destroy you. That's the warning God is giving here. And this terrible pattern has continued throughout human history. People give in and they pursue and even celebrate the sins of the world rather than following the truth of the world. We see it in Romans chapter 1. Although they know full well God's just sentence that those who practice such things deserve to die. What are such things? All the sins that we see in Romans 1, 18 to 32. We see all of this list of all these ways that people distort and go according to the way of the world rather than the way of the word. And he's like, hey, people know that if they do this, they deserve death, eternal death, separation from God, eternity in hell. He said, and they not only do them, but they even applaud others who do them. This is Genesis chapters 3 and 4 and beyond, right here summarized in Romans 1:32. This is America. This is our country right now. This is the world. It's the world all around us. Sin is easy. And it's easy to celebrate sin. It's really easy to go to the store and buy a fake bag of nacho tortilla chips. It's easy to do that, to be fooled into thinking they'll satisfy you, but there's something much better. There's something real. There's something that will truly satisfy. And that's how it is with us. That's how it is with what is right and what is good and what is true. You know, we might think that the tainted things of the world are just as good or better, but then we realize how good it is to know and to follow Jesus. And so, you know, after Pastor Scott gave me that fake take, I questioned everything about what we did in hiring him for that short time. I was still okay with him being my brother-in-law. I want to be clear. I didn't stop loving him. I still cared about him, but I just didn't think it was probably appropriate for him to lead people in a church until he tasted the real thing, until he realized that he had made a mistake. We've all been there. We've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short. Have you tasted the real thing? You know, we can joke and we can have fun, but really examine your heart right now. Have you experienced the real thing? Or have you been settling for far less than what God has for you? The temptation is always going to be there to settle for what's less because it's easier. It's easier to just disregard this and settle for something far less. And the world will celebrate you for it, because that's the way of the world. A reason for sin is because it's easy. A reality, though, sorry, I was going to show that one more time, just as a reminder. A reality, though, is that, so sin is easy, but a reality is that sin is evil. So much more than simply missing the mark. Some people try to explain sin because the technical definition, if you look at the word sin, it's literally talking about missing a mark. And sometimes people will say that and they'll say something like that, try to lighten the severity of sin. But no, it's so much more than simply missing the mark. It's not just a mistake. Sin is evil rebellion against God and against His word. That's sin. Don't be fooled to believe otherwise and thus diminish the seriousness and the evil of sin. So let's continue reading in verses 8 through 16. And you see this here in Genesis chapter 4. So it says, Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's guardian? The answer there is implied, yes, you are your brother's guardian. You're his big brother. Yes, you're his guardian. And so from this point forward, we see it all throughout the scriptures that big brothers don't do what they're supposed to do. You are your brother's guardian. It's what you were made to be until he becomes of age. You are his guardian. And so Cain's like, well, who am I? And so this is a verse that we see throughout the scriptures. We see it with the parable of the prodigal son. We see it all over until we get to the real big brother that we all need, which we'll talk about later. But yes, you are your brother's guardian. Then he said, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. He's asking those same rhetorical questions like he asked Adam and Eve, knowing their sin, confronting the sin. So now you are cursed, God said, with alienation from the ground that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood you have shed. This is the sixth time in a few verses that the word brother appears. Think about that. This emphasizes how shocking and heartbreaking this is. Your brother, your brother, your brother's blood. What am I, my brother's keeper? Just how tragic this story is. These are brothers. If you work the land, he said, it will never again yield you its fruit, give you its fruit. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. But Cain answered the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Since you are banishing me today from the soil, and I must hide myself from your presence and become a restless wanderer on the earth, whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord replied to him, in that case, whoever kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. And he placed a mark on Cain so that whoever found him would not kill him. Then Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Sin is evil. I joke and I have fun with, and I did get Pastor Scott's permission, by the way, to make fun of him this morning. He was gracious and allowed me to do that. But we joke about things like chips that don't really matter, but I want you to consider for a moment just how serious this is. Sin is more than just easy. If it was just easy, we'd be like, eh, no big deal. Missing the mark. But it's more than just easy. It's evil. Just notice what we see here is this evil builds up. Disobedience, murder, denial, refusal to repent, and consequences for that sin, for that evil rebellion against God's word. You notice how it ended when we finished reading verse 16, right? If you look back at verse 16 again, it ended east of Eden. Just like the end of chapter 3. Remember the end of chapter 3? They went out east of Eden, and there was an angel guarding east of Eden, the gate on the east of Eden, east of the garden, out from the Lord's presence. The worst of all situations. Away from God's presence. The worst it could be right here. The judgment for the evil of sin. The word cursed in verse 11, if you look back at verse 11, it's the same word in Genesis 3:14 when God cursed the serpent. Did you see how the evil of sin led to Cain not only being of the seed of Adam and Eve? So remember, he's literally the child of Adam and Eve. He's the seed of Adam and Eve. But notice, and so as a result of being the seed of Adam and Eve, what did he do? He worked the ground, and he had to deal with the brokenness of the world. So that's what he did. He was of the seed of Adam and Eve, and yet he is also of the seed of Satan. The seed of the serpent, the seed of the devil, the seed of the evil one. Sin is evil. He proved this, and so you might say, well, wait a second, Nick. How do you know that he was of the seed of the evil one? He proved it, of course, by killing his brother rather than obeying the word of God. And you would still might say, well, that doesn't prove that he was of the seed of the serpent. But look at 1 John chapter 3. So in chapter 3, verse 11, says, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Okay, yeah. We would agree. That's the call in all of our lives. But look at the next verse. Unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Simply because his brother did the right thing, had a heart of worship, he killed him. But notice it says he was of the evil one. It doesn't say Cain who was of Eve. Cain was of the evil one. He was of the seed of the serpent. And as a result, Cain was cursed. This is the reality of sin. This is the result of sin. What an opportunity Cain had when God confronted him and God asked him those questions to give him a chance. What an opportunity Cain had to repent. But all he did was complain about his punishment. And that's so much like us. We get an opportunity to repent, and we complain about the punishment we get for the wrong that we did. Oh, but that's not fair. That's too much. I can't bear that. Cain didn't turn to the Lord. He had an opportunity to repent. He didn't turn to the Lord. He didn't ask for forgiveness. He didn't seek to be made right with God. He was of the evil one. And what a contrast to what you learned in family groups this morning. Kids, what was the lesson about in family groups this morning? Who can tell me? It was a tougher one to summarize, but what was the lesson about, Gabe? Yeah, it was about repentance. Ultimately, yeah, that was the lesson. The Israelites confessed their sin. So the Israelites sinned. They did wrong, just as we all do. But they confessed their sin. And God forgave them. And then what happened? God delivered them from the Philistines. Cain didn't confess his sin. What am I, my brother's keeper? Oh, I don't want to do that. That's too much, God. That's too much. I can't bear that weight. He had an opportunity to repent, but he didn't. The Israelites did, and so God delivered them from the Philistines. Just as was clear in that lesson, understand that God desires to restore his people. That's God didn't desire to cast him to the east. God's desire is to restore his people. Yes, we stray. We sin. We fall short. And so the call on all of our lives is repentance, to turn away from sin to him. Don't fail and be like Cain in your response to the truth that sin is easy and sin is evil. Respond by turning to God. Cain failed in this response. What will you do? Because we all sin. What will you do? Will you respond and lead by the world? Or will you respond and lead by the word? And the way we lead by the word is to turn to God. To say, as we sang earlier, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. The recording of history resumes in verses 17 to 25. Some of whom followed the Lord and some who didn't. We're going to read that in a minute. Recognize, though, that we either turn to God or we give in to the easy evil of sin. There's no third option. So we don't say, well, you know, I'm not doing that evil rebellion that Cain did. I'm not killing people, but I'm not really walking with the Lord. I'm just kind of, I'll be there eventually, but I'm just kind of, no, you're either in the way of evil or you're walking with the Lord. Those are the options. That's it. There's no fence to ride. Cain resorted to evil rather than repenting and turning to God. Human history is full of similar stories. Along with the good of those who do turn to God, it's full of stories of those who refuse to repent, those who refuse to turn to God. And notice the contrast here as we finish the chapter. I just want you to notice as we read through this, the contrast of what we see of those two options, of the way of the world and the way of the word. So it says, Cain knew his wife intimately, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain became the builder of a city, and he named the city Enoch after his son. Irad was born to Enoch. Irad fathered Mehujael. Mehujael fathered Methushael. And Methushael fathered Lamech. Lamech took two wives for himself and named Ada, and the other named Zillah. Ada bore Jabal, and he was the father of the nomadic herdsmen. His brother was named Jubal. He was the father of all who play the lyre and the flute. Zillah bore Tubal-Cain, who made all kinds of bronze and iron tools. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Notice all the creativity here, because these are, remember, we're created in God's image. So you see a lot of artistic creativity right here, and just in these individuals. Verse 23, Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, pay attention to my words. For I killed a man for wounding me, a boy for striking me. If Cain is to be avenged seven times over, then I, for Lamech, it will be 77 times. Adam knew his wife intimately again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has given me another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. A son was born to Seth also and named him Enosh, which interestingly is a similar, has a similar meaning as Adam. Adam, the father of humanity. Enosh also means the father of humanity. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Every other response that we see leads to destruction. The devastation we saw in Genesis chapter 3, every other response except for turning to the Lord leads to that devastation. So in verse 26, here we have the only way to be delivered from Satan, sin, and death is to call upon the name of the Lord. Notice the two differences in this chapter. So notice with Cain's family line, Cain's evil family line, they call upon the name of one another. So in verse 17, it says that they name cities. So Cain names a city after his son. And you might think, well, that's not that bad. What should Cain have been doing? He should have been turning to the Lord. He should have been honoring the Lord. But he was simply honoring his kids, or trying to. He was cursed as a restless wanderer. And what's he do? He builds a city, which we'll see that again later with the Tower of Babel. He builds a city, and we see at the end of the chapter, calling on the name of the Lord is one way to do it, or we see it doing it the way of the world, which is to honor everyone but the Lord. Lamech distorted and disobeyed the one flesh design of marriage, and he took two wives for himself. First time we see this happening in the Bible. Disobeying the very clear design God had for marriage is in Genesis chapter 2. Then he was vengeful and entitled. He completely misapplied God's protection over Cain and his family. He killed double the number of people Cain did, and he thought himself justified in doing so. Acting like, well, if Cain can be venged seven times over, then it's 77 times for me. What a tragic example of the problems of sin, the evil of sin. Just like we'll see in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, this is what led to God renewing everything and sending the flood. The evil that existed on the earth, and it's right here. It's the seed of the serpent. Cain's family was successful by the standards of the world. I mean, look at all the things they accomplished. But lasting success is according to the standards of the Word, not the standards of the world. We are so obsessed to make sure that we accomplish all of these things by worldly standards. And that's what we tend to celebrate, all of these worldly accomplishments, all the while ignoring the call in our lives to obey the Word, doing it at expense of obeying the Word. Call upon the name of the Lord. Turn to Him. He provided Adam and Eve with another child, Seth. So we see God's continued faithfulness and provision in His plan. And it was there. It was from the line of Seth, not from the line of Cain. Certainly not from the line of Abel, because his life was ended by Cain, but from the line of Seth would be where God would fulfill his promises. And we'll see that next week as we get into the continuation of the genealogy. Call upon his name, turn to him, trust him, follow him. Remember, I said my purpose today is that you will lead by the word and not by the world. Be the older brother that Cain was not. Be the older brother that Cain was not. Be the worshiper of God that Abel was. That's why his offering was accepted, because he had a heart of worship. Be the leader of others and faithful follower of the Lord that Cain was not. He didn't lead others well. He didn't lead by the word. He led by the world. And so we had people like Lamech who came after him, who even took that evil rebellion further. Because that's what happens. When we don't lead by the word and we lead by the world, we see that evil rebellion compound and compound and compound. Let's be the people who call upon the name of the Lord so that we are helping others to call upon the name of the Lord as well. Lead by the word and not by the world. Follow Jesus and help others to follow Jesus. Disciples make disciples who make disciples. If your name, just think about, we see these genealogies now in Genesis. If your name was recorded in a book someday, what would be said about you? If just a few statements could be said about you and it was true, if it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, what would be said about you? And what would be said about those who come after you? People that you've had an opportunity to influence, what would be said about them? Of course, anything and everything good must begin and it must continue and it must be saturated with the good news of the gospel, or nothing is possible good for us or to be said about us. And so we know that God is perfect. God created everything perfectly. We know Genesis 1 and 2 is that there were no problems because God is perfect and holy and good. But we know what happened in Genesis 3 and what's happened throughout all the rest of human history is that sin entered the picture and we ruined everything because of our sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and that means broken relationships with one another and a broken relationship with God, which means we all deserve to spend eternity in hell. Praise God, though, that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to rescue us from Satan, from sin, from death, from hell. He took our place. Jesus is the big brother. He's the big brother able in every single one of us ever since have needed. He's the big brother we need. He's the one who says, yes, I'll be my brother's keeper. Yes, I'll do what needs to be done so that they can be restored and be right and be good. Jesus is the big brother. He took our place when he died on the cross for our sins. He made a way for us to be reconciled to God. And he rose from the dead to secure our eternal life. And so now the good news of the gospel is that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We saw it at the end of chapter 4. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, but you must turn from sin and you must surrender your all to him in order to experience this rescue. Then you have the promise of eternal restoration with God and with all who know him, perfect life without end. This is the promise for all who turn to the Lord, but only for those who turn to the Lord. Father, please help us to have a heart of worship like Abel did. Please help us to trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah, the big brother we all need, who died for our sins and rose again so that we could have a right relationship with you. Please convict us and help us, God, to follow you, to turn from sin and be right with you. I pray for those in here this morning, especially who haven't yet made that decision. Maybe they've been going through the motions like Cain did before his offering wasn't accepted. Maybe they've been here every Sunday. Maybe they've done all the right things outwardly, but inwardly their hearts are dark. They're distracted. They're idolatrous. They're seeking the things of the world. They're finding their hope in the things of the world. Please, God, give them a desire right now, in this very moment, to call upon your name, to turn from sin and trust in you. Help them to see that none of us in this room is any better than anyone else. None of us is worthy to be accepted. And yet when we have sincere hearts of devotion turning to you and turning from sin, that you will make us right with you. We thank you for doing that through Jesus. And we pray, God, that you would help us to constantly seek to turn to you, to turn from sin and follow you, to see that sin is evil. It's evil rebellion against your word. So help us to turn from that and seek to walk in a right relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.